people who are following the Anuim way know the privilege of being able to have a word of the Lord every single day, not just on Sundays. That's striking to me again today because I can't help but notice the comparison between yesterday's first reading, Sunday, and today's first reading. Yesterday's first reading was Isaiah's experience of encountering the Lord in the temple, and today's first reading is Solomon encountering the Lord in the temple. There's definite similarities, even though the two events took place hundreds of years apart. Both of these men met the same awesome God. Both of them had an experience of the temple being filled up with smoke or with a cloud. Reflecting on their experiences, and this is a continuation of yesterday as well, we were reflecting on that experience of encountering God, that Peter in the boat and Isaiah in the temple and Paul on the way to Damascus. Well, here's Solomon. And here we are. What does it mean to be in the presence of God? We use that term so simply, but it's really quite an awesome idea. In fact, it's a little hard to put into words what that even means, because what is the presence of God? And where is God? Where is he not? Where is he present? Once we start to think about it, we say, well, we don't really know what we're talking about here. God is everywhere. There isn't any place where God is not present, and yet he makes his presence known to us, especially in certain places and in certain ways and in certain moments. That's for our sake. It doesn't change God's presence, but we somehow wake up to his presence. You think of that invitation to prayer, which is so commonly used, let us place ourselves in the presence of the Lord, or let us recall that we are in the presence of the Lord. People use that often, and it's legitimate. Say, and when someone says, oh, let us place ourselves in the presence of the Lord, everyone immediately becomes silent, bows their head, and makes an effort to realize, oh, it's not that God suddenly came here and we're welcoming him, it's that we realize that we are in the presence of God who was here all along. Well, we look at yesterday's reading and today's reading, and we see that one of the images that indicates God's presence is a cloud. In the case of Isaiah yesterday, it was a cloud of smoke. The house was filled with smoke. In today's reading, Solomon describes it as, or First Book of Kings describes it as a cloud filling the temple. Now, in the Bible, the two most common images for divine presence are cloud and fire. So we'll just focus on the cloud part today. It seems like such a simple thing. Everyone knows what a cloud is. You look up at the sky, you see a cloud. And the Bible doesn't distinguish between the cloud that's created by water vapor and the cloud. Like in modern times, we think of a cloud of smoke, a cloud of water vapor. We think of a cloud like when the Taal volcano blows up and there's a cloud of volcanic ash. Or we look at Manila and we see a cloud that's really pollution. And we have all these different kinds of clouds. That's not in the Bible. The cloud is what you see when you look up into the sky. And the interesting thing about a cloud is you can see it, you know that there's a cloud there, but the closer you get to it, the less you can see. And when you're in the cloud, you can hardly see anything at all. So it's a kind of paradoxical, and this is a good image for presence of God. Well, sure, we know there's a God, there's a God, supreme being, and he holds everything in being. But as we draw closer to him, it's as if we can't see him at all. And we realize we're talking about something that obscures the farthest reach of our minds. So it's a cloud. A cloud that indicates God's presence and at the same time hides his presence. And this is God. We also see in yesterday's reading and in today's reading the presence of angels. Yesterday it was the seraphim crying out to each other, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. All the earth is filled with his glory." That's what angels know, that God is holy, holy, holy. And they'll say that over and over again. They'll never stop saying that God's holy, and that all the earth, meaning all creation, is filled with his glory. There's no place where the glory of God is not radiant. That's what the angels know. Well, in today's reading, it's not angels themselves, but the images of the cherubim in sheltering the Ark of the Covenant. So yesterday it was seraphim, today it's cherubim. If you want to get theologians and philosophers all worked up, try to get them to explain to you the difference between cherubim and seraphim. They'll really be confused. So, but we're talking about an angel. We're talking about higher beings that live in the presence of God. They live with their entire focus, their entire being on God. And they themselves don't know how to explain him. They themselves, you know, the image of the seraphim in the Old Testament, they have six wings. With two of their wings, they hide their faces. They hide their faces. Why? Because they're in the presence of God, and no one can just burst into the presence of God. It's out of respect for God that if the seraphim have to hide their faces, it's partly respect, and it's not exactly fear, but it's a acknowledgement that when we're in the presence of God, we're in the presence of something that's way beyond us. Someone that's way beyond us. When we're thinking about this, of course, we run into the limitations of our own finite minds. In yesterday's reading, Isaiah also had that experience of knowing his unworthiness. "Woe is me," he said. "Woe is me, I'm doomed, I'm unclean, I live in an unclean people, and we can't bear this cloud. We can't bear this kind of presence. It's too much for us." In today's reading, Solomon doesn't, at least he doesn't say that he has that experience, but you see what happens when the cloud fills the temple. All the priests have to go out. They can't do anything. They can't minister anymore. It's as if it's too intense. And Solomon, all Solomon says is, "Well, the Lord intends to dwell in the dark cloud." Now, what happens here when we find ourselves in the presence of God and we realize that we're unworthy and that we're small, we can be frightened, intimidated, ashamed, and we want to back off from it. You see what Peter said yesterday, "Leave me, Lord, I'm a sinful man. I can't be in the presence of something that's this good and this powerful and this holy. Let's not continue here." Of course, that's not God's idea. That's our reaction to God. God wants us. He wants us to be in his presence, and that's why he reveals himself in the first place. But our experience is that's a lot. Now, this is why, if you think about it, why idols have always been so attractive to men. Because an idol is contained in a space, and you put him up on your altar, or his carved image or whatever the idol is, put it up on the altar, and you bow down before it, and burn incense and sing songs, and then when you leave, it stays there. The idol, it doesn't really have any effect on you. You're in control of it. And that's somehow comfortable to us. We can make it as big and as beautiful and as valuable, gold, as much as we want, But in the end, and can even make it very frightening looking, you know, the images of gods from different cultures are sometimes quite fierce looking. But close the door, and it's in its temple, and it doesn't really do anything. So you can say you're afraid of it, or you honor it, or you love it, or you're worshiping it, but not really, because it just sits there. And that's a temptation to try to make God smaller so that we don't have to bear this presence, or we don't have to feel like we're so unworthy, or we don't have to feel like there's some authority over us. Now, this is because of our sin condition. I mean, the angels, even though they cover their faces, they're not trying to get away from God. They would never leave the presence of God. And anyone who knows God would never want to leave would never say, go away, or I'll go away. You say, oh, I'm not worthy to be here, but Lord, let me remain here. It's like Peter on the mountain, remember the transfiguration? Cloud came down, a voice, and you know the glory. And Peter said, well, let's stay here. Let's build three booths. Let's stay. How good it is for us to be here. That's the right response. Even though we're afraid and we're confused and we're overwhelmed, it's good to be in the presence of God. But it also makes us uncomfortable to be in the presence of God. And so we create these idols, or we box God in. It's wrong, but that's very, very common. So that when we're not thinking about God, we think that He's not thinking about us. Or when we're not aware of the presence of God, we think we can do what we want. You know what happens when people are in sin, in a state of sin, where they're kind of committed to a sinful life? They don't go to church. Because when they go to church, they feel uncomfortable. And they also stop praying. Maybe they still say words or they go through motions, but they don't really put themselves in the presence of God, because as soon as they do, this unbearable awareness of their sin, it is too much. Maybe you've had that experience yourself. I've talked to so many people when they finally come to confession and I say, well, why did you stay away for so long? You know, why did you stop going to church? Why did you stop praying? Well, I just couldn't do it. I couldn't pray. How could I talk to God after having lived in this? So this is it, presence of God. Okay, now, as I say, this is very hard to put into words, but God helps us by revealing Himself in a way that helps us know that He's here, that's the cloud, but at the same time makes it clear to us that we don't see everything. That's why it's a cloud. Now let's move to the presence of God in Jesus Christ. This is today's gospel. God, the infinite, the all-powerful, omniscient, enters into His own creation, not as a cloud, but as a human being. I mean, He takes on a human nature and walks around. This is what we see in today's gospel. And today's gospel just gives a kind of a general picture of Jesus as a healer. He's going around Galilee. Everywhere He goes, He heals people. People, all they have to do is touch the tassel of His cloak and they're healed. So suddenly the awesome presence of God is localized in the tassel of this man's cloak. This is how much God wants us to know that He's here for us. He's not out to smother us or destroy us or intimidate us. He loves us. He wants us to be whole. This is Jesus' whole mission, after all, is to reveal God, to reveal the love of God, the mercy of God, the presence of God, the mystery of God. And this is what He does as He's walking around. Now, He didn't come only to heal people of their illnesses. He did do that. He did it all the time. That's what we see in this gospel. But if we limit Him to a healer, we reduce him. It's almost making an idol out of him. And this is what people do, even with sacred images. Oh, this one will heal you. Take this relic of Saint so-and-so, or take this holy object, this statue of the Nazareno, and touch it and you'll be healed. Okay, God will use these sacred images, but it's not the statue or the relic or the sacred image that is healing. And the presence of God is not limited to that thing. So don't turn any sacred item into an idol or fall into superstition. It's just a sign of the presence of God, the power of God, the love of God. Well, our desire to be with God and the gift of God making Himself present to us is all summed up in Jesus. Jesus is the presence of God. He is God. He's God in a way that we can relate to Him. We can't talk to a cloud. We can't see a cloud's face. We don't know how to relate to a cloud. But we can talk to Jesus. We can see His face. We can relate to Him in a personal way. So this is God making Himself relatable to us. It's God's, without leaving heaven, He comes down to earth. Without losing His divinity, He unites Himself with our humanity. This is the unspeakable treasure of Jesus. So I hope that these two readings help us see this. We can reflect on the mystery of God's presence and be awed and frightened and confused. But then we say, God has revealed Himself in Jesus Christ, and we're still awed. We're still frightened in a certain sense. That's why Jesus has to keep saying, don't be afraid. We're still confused because our mind just can't get it, but we have confidence in Him. We can entrust ourselves to Him. We can ask Him to heal us. We can touch Him. We can be with Him. This is what we do when we come to Mass. We come into the presence of the Lord. We bow down before Him. We touch Him because He makes Himself touchable. We who are sick find our healing in Jesus Christ.